The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too often, we think of the body as a collection of parts that we can replace as they wear out. It's time to change our view of the body and start thinking of it as an integrated whole. Welcome to Rethinking Orthopedics with your host, Mary J. Rogel. Imagine what might become possible if we think together in a different way about our dynamic and adaptable bodies. Now, here is Mary J. Rogel.
Good evening and welcome to Voice America Radio. You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics, and I'm your host, Mary Rogel. We're broadcasting today from the Voice America studios in sunny Phoenix, and our topic is recovering from broken bones. We're going to do this show today as a practitioner roundtable. There are three acupuncturists sitting here, and we're going to be discussing how we treat broken bones and what you can do to assist in your own healing. What I'd like to do is start out a little bit with telling you a little bit about who I am. I'm an acupuncturist licensed in Illinois, and I've been practicing in Hyde Park for the past 28 years. You can find out more about my practice at my website, www.eastpointassociates.com. But in a nutshell, I specialize in treating orthopedic problems, and I've been teaching orthopedics to acupuncturists and body workers for over 20 years. My two guests today are acupuncturists from Arizona in the greater Phoenix area. Denise Genderzak, her practice is In Motion Orthopedic and Sports Acupuncture, which is located in Mesa. She specializes in treating sports injuries and orthopedic conditions, and she's been in practice for 10 years. Now, one of the interesting things that you'd like to know, or I'd like to tell you about Denise, is that she's an active member of the National Ski Patrol, and she volunteers at a ski resort in Arizona. Now, for those of us from the Midwest, it's a very funny concept to think about skiing in Arizona. And I have to say that when Denise first told me that, I thought she was joking, because at that time, that was one of the years in Chicago when we had no snow, and there she was in Arizona skiing. And Denise brings with her some personal experience with broken bones. She broke her wrist about 2 years ago in a biking accident and required surgery with plates and screws, so she's really familiar with treatment and recovery issues. So welcome, Denise.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay. My second guest is Catherine Stewart, who is also a licensed acupuncturist in Arizona. She's been in practice almost 25 years. Formerly, she was the clinic dean and supervisor and the acupuncture chair and a senior faculty member at the Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture. And I believe that's called PIMA, right?
That's right.
That's right. Okay. Currently, she's practicing in Sedona, and her practice includes babies, children, and adults of all ages. She's had a lot of experience treating broken bones because she used to live in California, and when she was there, she worked with a chiropractor who saw a lot of people who'd been in auto accidents. So welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Now, one thing you might wonder is, why are a group of acupuncturists talking about broken bones? We're not the first responders in emergencies, but we treat a lot of patients as they recover from surgery after broken bones, people who have stress fractures and other kinds of fractures that cannot be set. So we actually do treat a lot of broken bones, and we take quite a different approach from Western medicine. I can give you an example of that. When I had a hairline fracture in my foot and decided, well, I was going to try to treat this foot by myself. Also, I wanted to continue practicing and felt that I was going to have an awfully hard time doing that if I were in a boot or in a cast. So I made my own little cast out of an orthotic and an ace bandage.
Really?
I did.
That's
yes,
amazing.
It
That's
worked amazing. Wonderfully. Because what I could do then is I could use my foot. I didn't have to worry about stressing the fracture in any way because I had the orthotic in there. And so I just treated it every day, took the orthotic and the ACE bandage off, and it healed pretty quickly. And I would say that I have no after effects from that.
That's really good because most people do have some type of after effect.
The key was the daily treatment and working on the tendons and ligaments. And that was the one thing that I really learned from treating myself on this. The pain was not from the break. It wasn't the bone. The pain for me was in the tendons and in the ligaments. And and I figured out the reason why. There's tension in a bone, and when the bone breaks, the things that are attached to it are no longer stretched. So suddenly they collapse. The pressure from the tendons and ligaments just makes them want to contract together. And what it does is it pulls other things out of alignment, and that's where my pain was from. It was the tendon that goes up the front of the leg. And what I was able to do at some point was to get the bones realigned in the ankle, the pain went away. And I had the added benefit of reducing my bunion by 50%. So
wow.
That was nice.
That's really remarkable.
It was really nice.
I actually had a hairline fracture in my foot.
Oh, did you?
I did. And the podiatrist, who was actually one of my students, he was changing careers to be an acupuncturist. But he said the main cause of that is wearing slide shoes, you know, without a back. Because you're actually having to grab the shoe all day, which I wore slides, you know, it's hot here and I didn't want to wear anything. And my treatment was wearing a running shoe for about 6 months with total support, and it just healed itself.
My fracture occurred in a good walking shoe with an orthotic.
Wow.
And I was riding in a car.
Oh.
How did it happen riding in a car?
Because there was an auto accident.
Ah.
And I could see it coming, and so I had my foot planted on the floor to, you know, step on the brake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, and then when the impact occurred, it was just enough to crack the bone.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. If I'd been in slides, I probably would have broken the entire bone. Now, Denise, you did have a serious break.
I did. I was riding my mountain bike, and I lost my balance, and I did the classical thing of falling off a bike and reaching out with an outstretched arm, and my hand hit a rock. And as soon as I hit, I heard a crunch, and I felt nauseous, and I was like, I know I did something bad with this, and it swelled up immediately. I wasn't able to move it, and I had to get myself out of the trail, drive home, and get care for myself.
You didn't have your phone with you, huh?
I didn't have my phone with me, and I probably did everything wrong that you're not supposed to do when you have a fracture. So I knew that I thought it was probably broken. I kept trying to move it, hopefully thinking, well, maybe it's just a bad sprain, and you know, if I keep moving it, it'll feel a little bit better. Then I had to push my bike a couple miles to my car, and then once I got to my car, I had to lift my bike onto the bike rack, and then I drove myself home, and then when I got home, I realized that, you know, this was, like, really serious, so I went to my office to call my patients for the next week to say, I don't think I'm going to be in the office, and then I finally went and got some care for myself. So, like, that was all completely wrong.
That's true, that was. So what kind of a break did it end up being?
Well, I broke my radius, and I broke it in three places.
Okay, and the radius is the large bone in the arm.
Forearm. The large bone in the forearm, and I broke it in three places, and I needed a metal plate and eight screws.
And there was some special concern about the kind of break that you had.
Yeah, one of the fractures was located at an area where the bones come together, and it's an area where there's cartilage, and it happened to be a vertical break, and there was a lot of concern that the cartilage would not regenerate in that crack.
Or that the crack might even split down the bone.
That's right, that the crack might split down the bone, and that the bones, actually the reason I ended up having surgery is there was a little concern that the bones were actually shifting, and so we wanted to get the bones lined up properly.
And not to put you on the spot or anything, but I wonder if you hadn't lifted your bike and hadn't done some of the things that maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad break.
That's what I wonder now. Now I wonder if maybe if I hadn't, you know, tried to lift the bike up and had done so many movements with it, if things would have stayed more lined up and perhaps I could have avoided surgery.
That would have been nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we, you know, you never know.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You never know. Now, Catherine, you've had a whole different set of experiences with brakes.
I, except for my little foot thing, I haven't, thank goodness, ever broken anything, but I treat it all the time. And like you said, when I was in California, I actually had almost exclusively auto accident practice with a chiropractor, which most of that was brakes as well as contusions and all kinds of things. And what it did for me was change the way that I worked, because at least in the West Coast, I can't speak for all of America, but West Coast, we're taught to be very conservative with how many needles we use. And there's this fear that, don't use more than 10, it'll wipe you out, or just be very gentle. And I found that that didn't work. And so what I had to do was just add more and more needles. And for some people, I would do 60 needles. And that sounds horrible, right? It sounds like, oh, it's so painful. It's not painful. If it's done right and you don't go to where the pain is first, you go elsewhere to get everything moving and the inflammation to calm down. But the more I was able to treat with more needles, the faster people got better. It was actually a miracle.
That's amazing. That's really nice to know, too, because then that means people don't have to be afraid of treatment, especially right after the break.
Right. It's not painful. I mean, it's not painful to have a treatment. Well, unless you're in China, but that's another issue. They believe it should be very painful to work, but it doesn't have to be. So don't be afraid of that, because it sounds scary, because I don't actually like needles, to be honest. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think any of us does. You're three acupuncturists who don't like needles, but we use them all the time.
Except acupuncture.
Because they're very effective.
Right.
They're very effective. We're going to talk a bit more about strategies for treatment in our next segment. So let's take a little break at this point, and we'll return shortly to Rethinking Orthopedics and continue our discussion of broken bones with Denise Genderzak and Catherine Stewart, two licensed acupuncturists from Arizona.
Step by step, you made it through the journey of pregnancy. Now your baby is in your arms and you're on the cusp of a new journey, breastfeeding. As a new parent, you receive a lot of advice, much of it conflicting, some of it outdated. Tune into Born to be Breastfed with host Marie Biancuso to bust through the myths about feeding your baby. Marie and her guests will help you figure out what you can expect and put you on the best and surest path on your breastfeeding journey. Listen every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
How many times have you heard this?
I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired.
You are what you eat.
I've tried every diet.
Diets don't work.
It's time to stop this kind of madness and start thinking and feeling empowered to change your health. Tune in to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. Join us weekly for thought-provoking conversations with world-renowned experts in the food, medical, holistic, sports medicine, chiropractic, and naturopathic health sciences. The Raw Truth airs live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly, but instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the cancer coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
This is Rethinking Orthopedics with Mary J. Rogel.
If you have a question or comment about today's show, please give us a call at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to rethinkingorthopedics@earthlink.net. Now, back to our show.
You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics. I'm your host, Mary Rogel, and with me today are Denise Genderzak and Catherine Stewart, two acupuncturists from Arizona. And in this segment, we're going to talk about how acupuncturists treat broken bones. As I mentioned earlier, acupuncturists typically treat patients after they've had surgery for serious breaks or if they've suffered the kind of a fracture that cannot be set. And some of you who are more familiar with Oriental medicine know that we treat the body, the mind, and the spirit as one. And that's the same in treating a broken bone, no different. The healing takes place at many different levels, some of them physical and some of them more in spiritual and emotional. So we're going to be talking about all those different levels of treatment. Let's go ahead and start with healing the body. Catherine, one of the things you mentioned to me is that many people don't heal at a normal rate because they have some kind of dietary deficiencies.
Right. What I've seen in my practice, especially over the last 10, 15 years, is the American diet, we call it SAD, Standard American Diet, is actually quite sad.
It's sad.
It is very sad.
Yeah. And we, most of us are taught to eat kind of a high carb, high sugar, low, low fat diet. And what happens when we break a bone is there's no minerals in our system to heal. There's no, we don't have enough fat, which the tendons and the tissues need, and not enough protein.
That's because of our diet, or that's just in general?
That's because of the diet.
Because of the diet.
I mean, traditional cultures, I mean, for one thing, like chicken breast was thrown to the dogs. Like,
oh.
We like it. It's all, I'll just eat the breast. That's fine, but the bones should be used, the organs and everything, and not just a chicken, but other things. And if you're a vegan, that's a whole nother issue, which we can talk about another time. But even the way we eat protein is not traditional. And one of the things that I specialize in is kind of nutritional nutrition. Mm-hmm. Like, how did it used to be and what's gone wrong? And I've just found that once people start doing even something simple like homemade bone broth every day, that can speed up healing exponentially. And just laying low on sugar, you know, honey's fine. There's different ways to get that sweet thing that we're most of us are addicted to. But straight sugar and, you know, that kind of thing is just not good for healing, and it creates more pain and inflammation.
I mentioned bone broth. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how to make it?
Sure. The number one ingredient besides the bones is vinegar. Vinegar actually creates, and you can use any kind, apple cider, white vinegar, whatever. I happen to have vinegar around in giant containers for cleaning and whatnot, but you can use any kind you want. What I do is I'm kind of lazy, so I want to make a meal first. Like, there's ways to make it where you buy the bones, and I just get a chicken. I cover it with any kind of oil you want. Salt and pepper, and then vegetables and root vegetables and onions, and bake the chicken. And then there's my meat. Yum, yum, I can eat dinner. And then there's my carcass ready to make the bone broth. I throw it in a crock pot. You can use just something on the stove. And the trick ingredient is 2 tablespoons of vinegar.
Hmm.
And then anytime I have vegetables that are like, they're not bad, but they've seen better days, I throw that in the broth, and that creates a yummy taste. And you just do it for 48 hours, strain it out, good to go.
You cook it for 48 hours.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
Really, yeah. Leach all the good nutritional components out of the bones.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's really interesting to see when it's cooking, it actually dissolves the cartilage.
That's right.
It does.
It
yeah,
does.
That's amazing.
And you know how they used to always say chicken soup? Well, they found it's true. I mean, chicken soup will actually help heal many things. Digestive problems, broken bones. It's just that the stuff from the can, not so much. Like, you have to make it.
And I would imagine it depends on the quality of the chicken, too, or the bones that you're using.
Do your best. It's a difficult thing because some people can't afford a $20 chicken. That's how much the super good ones cost. So I just say, you know what, do your best. At least if it's hormone-free, that's a step. You know, we have to make choices every day about our health, and sometimes we don't have the money to get, like, everything organic and everything top dollar. Just do your best, you know.
I've heard that one of the big the minerals are really important in healing bones. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I've heard that, like, not only is calcium and magnesium important in vitamin D in helping to heal the bones, but it's actually like the minerals that you get from the bones as it, you know, leaches into the broth that are actually really what's helping to build the bones.
Well, and that's true. And I would say part of that is people think we're so used to taking a pill, right? Mm-hmm. So, oh, I'll just buy vitamin D and I'll just buy magnesium and calcium. The human body is not really set up to take pills. It doesn't quite understand a pill, in my opinion. Like, I mean, in a sense, it's not as digestible, but when it's in a food base and not from a bottle, the body recognizes it and can assimilate it.
It's interesting that you asked that question. There was a time when there was a lot of stuff starting to come out about what kind of supplements you should take for bones and what does calcium do in building a bone, what about vitamin D and all those things. And so I had an opportunity to talk with an endocrinologist who specializes in bones at that time, and I asked her, what is this about not taking calcium for bones? And she says, yeah, we get enough calcium in our diets as it is. What we really need is the vitamin D, vitamin K, and boron and strontium. And those are the minerals that we're talking about here.
Yeah, those trace minerals.
Those trace minerals. And that instead of supplementing, if you're going to supplement, instead of supplementing with calcium, supplement with these other things instead because you already have enough calcium. But I like the idea of the bone soup much better because it all comes together in one. And if you're worried that you're not getting enough vitamin K or D, then dark green leafy vegetables.
Well, and also cod liver oil. And organ meats, I mean, that's the things that have been taken out of our diets in the last 50 years. I mean, I grew up eating liver, and then it was like, oh, my gosh, liver, oh, it's so scary. And actually, it's those very things that have all the things that everyone's suddenly missing.
Yes.
You know, and also I was frightened of the sun, so I never went out without my sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Well, there's now evidence that perhaps we need actual sunlight without sunscreen. That's part of the vitamin D problem. So we're not eating the organ meats. We're not doing the bone broth. Right. And so those are just sort of easy human ways for thousands of years to get those things.
Right. It's like eating like our great-grandmothers
do. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned oils. Is there something we should be looking for besides the fish oil or the cod liver oil?
Well, coconut oil, of course, is very popular right now, and it's actually a saturated fat, which means it's solid at room temperature. Now, that's been given a bad rap, you know, from maybe 1970 forward, and now they're finding like, oh, it's actually quite good for you. So coconut oil is one way to get it. Avocado oil is. Olive oil, the thing about that is it's a good oil, but you're not allowed to cook with it. And most of us learned to saute with it and all that. It does not have a high heat. You cannot take it to high heats. It can be on a salad, great. And, of course, olive oil right now, they're finding fake olive oil in all the stores.
That. Yes, I know.
So if you have a local olive oil place like Queen Creek has Queen Creek Olive Oil Company, they're really making it there. Mm-hmm. It's real. And real olive oil should be very dense, foamy, dark.
Viscous.
Yes, you shouldn't be able to see through it. So the stuff, you know, at the stores are not that great, and nor should you cook with it. So, I mean, butter and lard, to be honest, are great fats, too, if you're not a vegan, you know.
And that coconut, the coconut oil, it just really gives food a wonderful taste to it, an extra.
Except my mother hates it, so.
Yeah.
And speaking of taste, you mentioned inflammation and sugar.
Mm-hmm. Well, sugar is one of the leading causes of actual heart disease, high cholesterol, and inflammation, and therefore of pain. And sugar can be regular cane sugar, and organic sugar is actually sugar. We think, oh, well, it's organic, it's good for you. Just because it's organic, it doesn't mean it's good for you. And cancer actually feeds on sugar. That's its best friend. Right. So I would say, to the best that you can, don't touch sugar. Now, studies have been done on, let's say, raw honey. It doesn't even raise blood glucose levels in diabetics. That's kind of amazing.
That's amazing.
That's true.
Stevia for some people works very well. So it's not that you never have to have anything sweet. It's just that you have to make better choices because it's going to lead to more pain and inflammation. Sugar and high carbs, even just lots of oatmeal and grains and rice and a very high carbohydrate diet can also create a lot more inflammation.
Yeah, it's true that with the sugar. I had a patient, I recommended that she stop sugar, wheat, and dairy, and she stopped the sugar, and she was astounded because she had no more pain when she got out of bed.
Wow.
Yeah. Her body felt good when she got out of bed.
Wow.
And it's amazing how much harm that sugar can do. Mm-hmm. We don't really realize it.
Right.
Did you find you had to do anything special when you were recovering from the surgery? Because that's a lot more dramatic than the kind of hairline fractures.
Oh, yeah. I did lots of things. I took natural types of anti-inflammatories, systemic enzymes. I took Chinese herbal medicines to alleviate pain, reduce swelling, reduce bruising, to increase circulation to the area. I had a lot of manual therapy done, above the break to keep those tissues healthy. Definitely need to do a lot of work once you have a broken bone.
And some of the things I really like for broken bones are magnets and electricity, not the with the needles, but using the pads like a TENS unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I use a lot of liniments and a lot of, as you say, manual work. And one of the nice things about doing the liniments and the manual work is that it helps to reduce the scarring.
Yes.
Which is something that really is, it interferes with the recovery and interferes with range of motion, and I think it increases the pain.
Yeah, exactly, because the scar tissue gets laid down in these irregular patterns that they're not aligned with the muscle and tendon tissues, and so then that causes restrictions when we try to move, and so we need to do the manual therapy and the liniments and the soaks to get that scar tissue realigned correctly so that it works functionally with the rest of the body.
And I think something that people aren't so aware of is that when you've got the scar tissue, and then I mentioned before how the joints go out of alignment when you've had a break, is it any wonder then that people have trouble in physical therapy and can't move some of their joints, and it's so painful to do the physical therapy? But if they can do some of these other things prior to the physical therapy, then it makes recovery a lot faster.
Yeah, and also, too, with the scar tissue, like once the incision is completely healed, it's really important for the patient to actually manipulate the scar tissue themselves, like every day, several times a day, so that the adhesions don't keep laying down, that you can always break those adhesions several times a day.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take another short break at this point. This is Rethinking Orthopedics. We will return to our discussion of broken bones with Denise Genderzak and Catherine Stewart, two licensed acupuncturists from Arizona, in just a little bit.
The largest syndicated alternative health talk program has come to the Voice America Network. The Dr. Bob Martin Show is the program that will answer your health questions and help you to heal your own body of many different ailments. Each week, you'll hear the answers that Dr. Bob gives to his callers that help them to be their own doctor most of the time. We'll also discuss developments on the healthcare front and what you need to do to keep your body in top form. The Dr. Bob Martin Show airs Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
This is Rethinking Orthopedics with Mary J. Rogel. If you have a question or comment about today's show, please give us a call at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to rethinkingorthopedics@earthlink.net. Now, back to our show.
You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics, and I'm your host, Mary Rogel. With me today are Denise Genderzak and Catherine Stewart, two acupuncturists from Arizona. Now, we ended the last segment talking a bit about how acupuncturists work with broken bones. One of the things that that we want to talk a little bit about is it's not just the bone that's been broken, but when you've had a serious break like that, or even not so serious break, it affects your whole body, your whole spirit, your mind, your emotions. So we'd like to address that topic right now.
That sounds great. You know, in Chinese medicine, every organ system has an associated emotion that goes with it. There's positive emotions and negative emotions. And in Chinese medicine, the kidneys are associated with the bones. We say the kidneys control the bones and the health of the bones. So the optimal strength of the kidney is going to keep our bones healthy and strong. And when we have a break, it affects the kidneys, and the emotion associated with the kidneys is fear. And so a lot of times that's something that needs to be addressed along with the break. And it's also a shock to our system. You know, a lot of times people, they have a break, they get real shaky, they feel a little nauseous. In Chinese medicine, that affects the heart organ, and that's something that we want to address as well. And we can do that through acupuncture, through herbal remedies. I think Catherine has some great suggestions for herbal remedies that help with shock.
Well, I would suggest you carry Rescue Remedy, which is not Chinese, of course. It's a Bach flower remedy. But I carry Rescue Remedy and also Arnica with me. I one time dropped a really heavy cutting board on my foot.
Ooh.
And it didn't hurt. And yet, as I looked down, my foot started swelling before my eyes. The pain hadn't even hit me yet. And I grabbed the Arnica and started taking it every 10 minutes. And I watched the giant swelling go down. And then the pain actually was not that bad. So, I mean, it's great right away. So take it with you or right after surgery. If you have surgery, I tell my patients to sneak it in and get it in your room. And the Rescue Remedy is so good for shock, because this is shock and trauma. And it can affect you for a very long time. It's scary. I haven't broken many things, but I've been in a lot of auto accidents, and it's almost a form of PTSD.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true. People become very fearful mm-hmm. after something like that, and that's a kidney issue. And so we want to strengthen and treat those kidneys to help to essentially stand up to that fear. Treat the heart to stand up to the shock, so that, you know, our organ system is functioning optimally again, so that there's no further issues down the line.
And we see that especially with our elderly patients, because it's not just the fear of falling, but they've actually fallen so many times that they expect to fall,
mm-hmm.
and it really it keeps people from doing things that they need to do, keeps them from exercising in the way that they need to exercise to be strong and to prevent falling in the future. For those people who are practitioners, there's a little formula that I learned a long time ago that I find works really well for clearing the body of this kind of trauma, and it's a kidney formula, the acupuncture with kidney 6 and kidney 27, and it clears the trauma out of the system and lets you go in and do other kind of treatments.
Yeah, that's a great acupuncture formula, and the... Also, too, the ear needles work really well for that, targeting the organ systems of the ear really helps great with emotional trauma like that.
For people who have heard of the term community acupuncture, if that's what you have available to you, that's a wonderful treatment for what we're talking about here. So how do you know if a bone is broken? I mean, we've talked about our hairline fractures. We know, Denise, yours was pretty obvious that it was broken. But how would we figure out if a bone is broken if you don't really know? Like you come across someone on the ski slopes.
Sometimes it's hard to tell. Sometimes, you know, it can be, you can assume that it's broken. Definitely if someone hears, if someone hears a snap, because the ligaments can snap as well, but hear a snap or a pop, if it swells up right away, if it bruises right away, if there's generally fractures will be more painful than a severe sprain. Those are signs. And then sometimes, too, there'll be a big deformity as well. Sometimes people may break their forearm, and we call it a silver spoon fracture, because there's actually just kind of like this curvature to the form. It almost looks like a swan's neck or a bent spoon. And so that's a pretty good sign that there's a fracture. If there's bones sticking out of the skin,
yeah, that one's clear.
that's usually a good sign that it's a fracture. And I think Mary, you have another way of
yeah, I have another really nice, really cool way. A tuning fork. If you put a tuning fork, you strike it first so that it's vibrating, and then you put the vibrating tuning fork on the bone. If it's broken, it will hurt, and it'll be a very clear sign that it's broken.
And I've tried that in clinic with people, and sometimes people will be apprehensive of it. I mean, that's also a good test. It's like, oh, no, don't. I know that's going to hurt.
Right.
You can take that as a positive sign, too.
Mm-hmm. And another way that you can find out is if the person is unable to move the limb, that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't bend all your fingers or you can't stand on your foot, it's probably broken. And my sense is that if you're not sure, assume that it is and take the precautions that you would take.
Yes.
Go get it x-rayed or whatever it is that you like to do.
Right.
Another way that's a clue that you need to pay really good attention is if a patient is feeling nauseous, not the patient, but if the person is feeling nauseous or woozy, that some kind of shock has occurred to the system and it's a good idea to go get it taken.
Yes.
Care of. Now, Denise, you've had some specialized training in rescue operations. What would you do if you came across someone that you think has a broken bone? What do you look for?
First of all, you always want to check the airway, make sure that the airway is open, that they're breathing, that there's no profuse bleeding. If there's profuse bleeding, we immediately want to stop the bleeding.
Would you use the tourniquet?
Tourniquet is probably the last resort. What you want to do is put gauze immediately on covering the bleeding and light pressure, enough pressure, and just keep applying pressure to stop the bleeding, applying, you know, gauze, more pressure to stop the bleeding. If you can't possibly do it with pressure, then going to a tourniquet. But that's really the last resort. Once the bleeding is stopped, you really want to stabilize the area and immobilize the area with a splint.
So you've done that before.
Yes.
What about those of us who've never done anything like that? How would we help? Let's say here we are in Arizona. People are always hiking out in places where there aren't too many people and it's hard to get help, or they don't bring their cell phones with them.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what could we do for our companions to splint?
Actually, you can use a lot of different things. You can use two tree branches. You can do two hiking poles. You can use what you have available. Sometimes you can take two shirts, two towels, roll them together and wrap them up. You can be really creative, but whatever you want to do is you want to get that part immobilized.
Okay. Thank you. Now, what about if the person is starting to go into shock?
That's a little tricky when you're out in the field, when you don't have a lot. You know, basically you want to try and keep the person hydrated and warm. So applying an emergency blanket, any type of extra clothing to try and keep the person warm. That'd be about the best that you can do out in the field.
Okay. And so then the next problem is once you have them stabilized is to get them some kind of help.
Yes.
Now, in the city, we would call 911. But what do you do when you're out on a hiking trail?
Well, you can have someone run ahead and, see if there's a ranger at the trailhead or a ranger in the park and let them know. And they can call either search and rescue or they can call the ambulance or the sheriff's office to come and meet you at the trailhead. There was someone recently who was walking on the trail in Arizona here, and she fell and broke her arm, and it was a bad fracture, and it was actually sticking out through the skin. And her companions knew enough, and what they did was they used two hiking poles to splint her arm, and then they tied the poles up, and then they tied a rope around the woman who was injured, and so we call that a short rope. And one of her companions held onto the rope while she walked, so that helped to stabilize her and prevent her from falling again. And then they splinted and immobilized the fracture, and then they sent someone ahead to run and tell the ranger that someone was severely injured and that they needed help, so that an ambulance was actually waiting for her when she arrived at the end of the trailhead. Her companions did a great job of helping her.
That's great. Now, those of us who live in the city are probably more likely to see people who've fallen downstairs, perhaps someone who's fractured a pelvis. What do you do? What should be in your mind when you're looking at that kind of a situation? You know, you're not out in the wild. You don't have to worry about how fast the emergency care is going to come.
Well, you want to call 911 immediately, and then you also want to make sure that the person can breathe, okay, and that the bleeding is controlled. That's the most important thing that you can do until help arrives.
Now, are there special considerations if there you might think there's a broken spine, a broken neck, or a broken pelvis?
Yeah, you want to make sure that the person doesn't move, and make sure that they don't move unless it's absolutely necessary, either for their safety to move, but you want to leave them in the position found.
So that would be a situation where you would not splint and where you would not try to get the person to come out.
No.
You'd bring help to them.
Yes, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Now, you mentioned to me at one point when we were talking about a golden hour.
Yeah, that's really important, especially for a fracture of like the pelvis, the femur, the long leg bone, or the shin bone, because those, when they break, they cause a lot of internal bleeding, and then when somebody bleeds a lot internally, they can go into shock from the loss of blood, and so there's pretty much an hour window of time to get them to help before they'll start to decline rapidly and go into shock that can't be corrected. So that's what the golden hour is.
Great. Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to take another short break from Rethinking Orthopedics and then return to our discussion of broken bones with Denise Genderzak and Catherine Stewart.
How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Make the most of your beautiful life. Listen to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and co-host Kurt Wilhelm to gain tips on how to live healthier and happier, alleviate suffering, prevent disease, become more beautiful in body, mind, and fashion, and find peace balance, and success in your life. Are you aware that every 3,500 calories that you eat above what you burn will put a pound of fat on your body? And running 1 mile only burns 200 calories? So portion size does matter, and migraines do have a cure. What is it? You'll have to tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
How do you find out more about wellness? When we let our busy schedule keep us on the run without stopping, something's going to give. How is the balance in your life? Are you overhyped or feeling run down constantly? Is stress doing its part to control your life? Listen for Be Well Bites with host Jamie Relay. Our show is all about connecting you with the experts that can help you with living a nourishing and fulfilling life in small, bite-sized tips and ideas. Nourish yourself and tune into Be Well Bites on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Rethinking Orthopedics with Mary J. Rogel. If you have a question or comment about today's show, please give us a call at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to rethinkingorthopedics@earthlink.net. Now, back to our show.
You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics with your host, Mary Rogel, and my guests, Denise Genderzak and Catherine Stewart, two acupuncturists from Arizona. In this segment, we're going to talk about how to care for old breaks, how to reduce your chances of breaking a bone, and how to keep your bones strong. We did talk some about keeping your bones strong earlier, but we're going to say a little bit more about that this time. So we see a lot of people with old breaks, right? So what things are the first kind of things that you think about when you're treating somebody that's no longer an emergency situation and they're coming in complaining about pain?
Well, the first thing I do is I ask them where their scars are. Because you, let's say you have neck pain, right? Someone comes in, I have neck pain, it's pretty common. And then I'll say, where are your scars? What's been going on? Oh, I had a scar down my ankle here and there. I'm probably going to treat them for, I'm going to treat the neck, of course. Right. But often that neck pain is actually because there's blockages or what we call stagnation in Chinese medicine of the meridians. So they can't go. It's almost like a kink in the in a hose. The water can come a little bit, but you need to kind of get stuff moving. So treating the scars are super important. And I know some practitioners that don't even touch you until they treat your scars,
wow.
All of them.
Wow. I like treating scars too, but I didn't know that there are people who actually start with the scars.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Okay. And one of the reasons that we do that is that these places affect not only the meridian and not only the local area, but because of the fascial connections and because of the tendons and ligaments, it affects all the joints in one way or another. And luckily, Oriental medicine has lots of ways of dealing with the stagnation. Now, in the Midwest, we have another solution, too. It's called moving to Arizona. Because climate has an effect on pain and on those old stagnations. So either snowbirds or actually moving here. Now, what makes someone susceptible to breaking a bone?
Well, I think sometimes it can be their overall health. Like the stronger you are, the less chance you have of breaking a bone. So like the stronger you are, the more muscle you have that can protect you from breaking a bone. Internally, the stronger that your kidney energy is. As we get older, there's a natural decline of kidney energy, and that makes us more susceptible to breaking bones as we get older. So we want to protect and nourish and sustain our kidneys to prevent breaks in the future.
And you know how you hear about older people and they say, oh, I fell and broke my hip? It actually is usually the opposite. Their hip broke, and then they fell.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as far as the kidneys in Chinese medicine, bone broth is one of the great ways to really nourish the kidney energy, because all of our kidneys get weaker with age. That's just how it is. And so we all could use a little bit of help nourishing them, and also just quiet and solitude help the kidneys a lot. And we live in such a go-go-go world that just to like settle down and meditate or whatever and have quiet time and good hot food with protein is a really mm-hmm. good way to nourish the kidneys.
Right. And I think you recommend that people take a cup of bone broth. Is it a cup a day, essentially?
A cup, when you're trying to heal, a cup a day and then mm-hmm. a cup every few days if just for good health.
Mm-hmm. So you actually drink it?
Yeah, that's how it's done. You could probably do an IV, but I don't think that would be easy. I will say, like, I'm kind of squeamish. You know, I'm trying to regain my taste for liver, for example, because I've lost it. And they say, just pretend you're a toddler, like, make yourself taste a little bit every, you know, 3-4 times. And I was scared to do the straight bone broth. I usually make a soup out of it. But when it's summer, I don't really want soup every day.
Okay.
So I tasted it without making it into a soup. And it's delicious. Like, it's insane. And it is the secret of, like, French cooking. Julia Child's. Like, it's good bone broth. Huh. And you can buy bones at the store if you don't want to do my chicken recipe. You can get good ones. But it actually should be delicious. Like, it's so nourishing and kind of like a just a nostalgic sort of taste. It's delicious.
I'm pushing you on a little bit, putting you on a little bit, because I actually use it in cooking. I use it in soups, in lentils, in rice, in spaghetti yep. sauce. I put it in just about anything.
And by the way, I did mention, just say, like, the store-bought stuff, not so much. Like, that is not the same thing. I don't know if I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have mm-hmm. to make it. I'm sorry.
You mean you can buy it in the store? I've never seen bone broth in the store.
It's fake. Don't buy it.
Now, does freezing it hurt it?
Absolutely not. And one of the tricks, like, I treat a lot of postpartum women, like C-section scars and whatnot. And one of the tricks with bone broth is make a whole bunch of it and put it in ice cube trays mm-hmm. and pop out a couple ice cube things. And you can just heat that up, and that's an easy way to do it.
It is easy.
That's a great idea.
And yeah. I've done that plenty of times, put it in serving-size containers, yep. whatever I'm going to need for my recipe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And before the show, too, Catherine also mentioned in preventing broken bones, not exercising, working out when you're tired, and mm-hmm. also when you're distracted.
Right.
And that goes a long way to preventing broken bones.
Most of the people, I see a lot of athletes, ultramarathoners and triathletes and whatnot. And most of the time, when they've hurt themselves badly, it's a day that they woke up, they weren't feeling well, but they pushed anyway, or they hadn't drank enough water, or they just were exhausted, and they wouldn't tell themselves to not do it. And they ended up in such bad shape.
Now, if you see that you're going to be falling, I mean, because we all get in situations where we're going to fall, is there anything that you learned on the ski slopes that we might benefit from in keeping ourselves from falling?
Tuck and roll. Tuck and
tuck
roll.
And roll.
That's, yeah. Okay. And, you know, I visualize that in my head all the time. Like if I'm riding my bike or if I'm skiing, I think about, okay, so if I feel like I'm going to fall, I'm going to bring my arms in close to my chest, and I'm going to, like, land more on my shoulder and roll with the fall, because that's gonna save breaking a wrist, breaking an arm, in landing in an outstretched hand. It's natural inclination to want to put out your arm to stop a fall, but you gotta tuck in and just roll with the fall.
Now, something I wonder about is when I've seen this happen plenty of times too, where the bone has broken first and then the fall occurs. Will the tuck and roll help then too?
It may prevent further damage from a fall. So if the hip is broken and then, like, you're going down and you reach out to stop the fall with your arm, it can prevent that, you know, that a break with the wrist mm-hmm. or arm.
Something I try to remind my patients to do is little exercises that help them feel their balance, because the better connection you feel with the ground, the less likely you are to be in a situation where you're going to lose your balance. So I would encourage people to walk barefoot in their houses and actually feel the floor with their feet, feel the different kind of surfaces that you're on, so that you move and you can feel what's happening there. So is there anything else that you'd like to let our listeners hear about before we close?
I would just say most people don't think about acupuncture after breaks and injuries, and it is one of the most effective treatments for this that I've ever seen. And my grandfather was a chiropractor, and you know, I come from I know a lot of different practitioners, and I will say give it a good try, especially people that specialize or have a lot of experience in orthopedic acupuncture or accidents.
It's true. It can speed the healing time twofold. It can cut the time down in half that you spend incapacitated.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a lot of really, really good information. My guests today have been Denise Genderzak, a licensed acupuncturist practicing in Mesa at In Motion Orthopedic and Sports Acupuncture. Her website is www.acupuncturemesa.com, and you can download her ebook there, Three Ways to Heal Chronic Pain at the Root. And you may also see her on the ski slopes in northern Arizona. And while you're traveling north, stop in Sedona and visit Catherine Stewart, a licensed acupuncturist who treats babies, children, and adults of all ages. Her website is www.traditionalhealthworks.com, and you will find healthy recipes and informative newsletters on that website. Thank you. And I thank you both, and I thank the staff at the Voice America studio here. This has been Rethinking Orthopedics. I'm your host, Mary Rogill, and you can listen to this show again if you would like on the Voice America website or by visiting my website at www.eastpointassociates.com. See you again next week.
Thank you again for tuning in this week. Mary Rogill will be back with another edition of Rethinking Orthopedics next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until then, may you focus on great health.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.